O triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you to be our God, the one who has made us, who has bought us back, and who even now provides for all of our needs. We come to your house, separating from the busy world, focusing on you and your word. Please, we pray, bless us with those gifts you long to give us in Christ Jesus. Amen. This morning we follow the order of service beginning on page 1 as printed in our hymnal and projected on our screens. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. So from our hearts we confess. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your earthly and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant that we may never doubt that your Son Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that following his steps we may steadfastly walk in the faith that leads to eternal life. This we ask through that same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We now read the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Our first reading for this morning is from the book of Jeremiah the prophet, the 15th chapter, beginning there with the 15th verse. I would imagine that all of you have experienced that at times you find it difficult when things seem to be going all wrong to remember that God hasn't abandoned you, that he knows what's best, and that his love remains steadfast. So we read the same from Jeremiah and God's answer. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone, because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Here ends our first reading. Our response this morning is Psalm 85, as found printed on hymnal page 85. Our New Testament reading is found in the 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning there with the 21st verse. So many elements, in fact, more than not, so many elements of the Christian faith are counterintuitive. In other words, they don't make sense to the way things work here on earth. We read in this example not only how Jesus taught us that, but how when we act according to our own ideas, we often run exactly contrary to God's plan. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Here ends our scripture readings. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. From our hearts, we confess the faith that we share. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May God, our Heavenly Father, shower you with His gifts of grace, His undeserved love, mercy, and peace through Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Dear fellow Christians, by way of reminder, last week our study of part of Paul's letter to the Romans, the beginning of this 12th chapter, led us to the conclusion that we should always assume you're it. In other words, when he's speaking, he's not speaking to others, he's speaking to you. And again, by way of reminder, in those first 11 chapters of that letter to Romans, Paul laid out, or the Holy Spirit through Paul, laid out this amazing, magnificent communication display of exactly how and why God saved us. He summarized it in chapter 3, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's us, or was us. But he goes on, "and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Then to make sure we don't miss it, he goes on to explain, "then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." So in the beginning of this 12th chapter of Romans, Paul began last week with, in view of the mercies of God, and we're reminded that that first 11 chapters is what Paul gave us, summarizing what that means, the mercies of God, what he's done for us. Then in chapter 12, the Holy Spirit through Paul transitioned from what God has already accomplished for us to practical guidance for those who want to now thank him, serve him, have a relationship with him in view of the salvation by grace through faith he's already provided. So that means assume you're it doesn't just, when you read all of this letter, it doesn't just mean he died for others. It doesn't mean others were sinful. It doesn't mean others were loved by God. It means you were loved by God. You were redeemed. God sent his son for you. With that reminder, assume you're still it, as we are provided yet more divine direction from our God as we continue in that 12th chapter this morning, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is God's word. Remind yourself every time that you open your Bibles, you hear that, these words, remind yourself of who that author is. And again, assuming you're it, assume that your God is talking to you, asking him to bless us through the study of his words this morning. So we pray, sanctify us in the truth, O Lord. Your word is true. Amen. Do you remember those cheap wind-up toys that you used to get as a kid? Now, this may predate some of you younger ones here, but they were so cheap, we used to get them in cereal boxes. And they were garbage, but they were precious to us as kids. Oh, the fights they started between me and my brother, because Mom would bring this box home and we'd see right on there free toy inside. It could be anything from a race car to a frog. You would just wind it up and set it. And so we'd tear into that box and we'd dig through it with our grubby hands and we'd find it. And then the next person would, you'd come and the box is ripped open and it's all bulgy because you were digging down in there. As I recall, my brother always differs, but we actually had to have a rule that you couldn't get the toy unless, luck of the draw, you happened to be pouring a bowl and it came out, which just made us pour bigger bowls. The point is, as I recall about them, they were good on propulsion, but not so good on direction. In other words, you'd wind them up, you'd set them down, and they would go. But almost never straight. They would just go. God knows that about us. He knows that as Christians brought to faith, we're all wound up. We want to now, as the psalmist put it, run the way of his commandments because he's enlarged our hearts. He's brought us to faith. We want to now serve him, thank him, obey him. But he also knows that we are not capable, we are not qualified to supply the direction. And that's what Paul has provided for us, the Holy Spirit through Paul, in this 12th chapter of Romans. He's provided us divine directions. Now, in case you're thinking that maybe that's not altogether that necessary, you've all seen examples of what happens when man, fully motivated, fully energized, ready to go, all wound up, when man determines or tries to determine his own direction. Doesn't work so well, does it? Examples grow ever more hideous in our society. There's examples all around you. So someone comes to the determination that abortion is evil, which of course it is, but then provides his own direction by blowing up abortion clinics. God didn't tell him to do that. And again, it deteriorates from there. So somebody comes to the conclusion that all insurance companies are evil and provides his own direction to murder father and husband in cold blood just because he works for an insurance company. Motivated by zeal for their God, men fly planes into office buildings and blow themselves up in crowded marketplaces. Motivation without direction means shooting someone who says things with which you disagree. That's why Christians read the directions that God gave us in his word, not with dread, not with apprehension, but with absolute thanksgiving and joy, not as burdensome, as precious, not as something God needs from us, but something that we need from God. God gives us direction to save us from ourselves. That old Adam, that sinful flesh that continues to lobby for evil until our God calls us home. So our text this morning is part of that divine direction. And that's why we ought to treasure these words. It's necessary in part because so much of what we learn here from God's word runs absolutely counter to our natural thoughts, our natural old Adam inclinations. So let's look at some of the examples from our text. In the first verse of our text, Paul says, "Abhor what is evil." Wow, that sounds pretty straightforward, simple enough. But the problem comes when we think we get to label evil as evil, when we get to determine what is and is not wrong, good, bad. Dyed hair, tattoos, piercings, hairstyles are not inherently evil. You don't get to make that determination. Now, the motivation behind some who do certain things with their body could be, but not the things themselves. I don't get veganism. I don't get vegetarianism. But those things aren't evil in themselves. We don't get to label them. You can ridicule them if you want. I don't suggest that there's no upside to that. You can do it in your own mind. But again, you don't get to label them as evil just because you think so. We've got to go back to get some divine direction from our God. On the other hand, you see the problem when we imagine that we get to label things that God has said are evil as good. I heard an interview, shockingly enough, this past week with a woman who came to believe that abortion was not only not evil, it was loving and commendable. So Paul says, abhor what is evil, but not according to our own definition of evil. Only God gets to do that. He goes on in our text, outdo one another. Ooh, well, my old Adam likes that. Your old Adam does. We'd like to stop there. Outdo one another. We have this natural inclination to be better, be superior, be seen as superior, even if we're not. And so again, our sinful flesh would say, oh, look, Paul says outdo one another, and doesn't want to go on, because Paul does. Outdo one another in showing honor. There's this wicked inclination in us to tear others down instead of try to do better ourselves so that we're seen as superior. So Paul gives us divine direction. Here's how Christians outdo one another in showing honor. Building someone else up, not self. Go down through the list. The direction of my sinful heart says, rake in all you can for yourselves. Get yours. God's direction, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Give. My sinful heart, hate those who hate you. God's direction, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. My sinful heart, someone wrongs you, get even. God's direction, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. God must have known that this was going to be especially difficult for us, because he didn't just stop there, did he? He goes on, he continues, he elaborates. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Can you see this? The love, the compassion, the wisdom in God's direction in all this? Nowhere in God's word does he say, do what feels right. In fact, already back in the Old Testament and throughout, he condemns that very thing in the book of Deuteronomy. You shall not do according to all that you are doing here today, everyone doing whatever is right in his own eyes. Twice in the book of Judges, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Nowhere does he advocate that. Nowhere does God treat us like cheap wind-up toys that get to go wherever we want just because we feel like it. Listen to what the psalmist said on the contrary. In Psalm 119, he wrote this, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Let me give you an example of what he's talking about. Imagine that you have to cross a field that is seeded with countless landmines and punji pits. You remember, they dig a pit and cover it, and on the bottom are these sharpened stakes. You have to go across there. You have to cross it. You can't go around it. You have to go through it. And you know that one false step can lead to great bodily injury or death. Now imagine that somebody walks up to you and hands you directions on how to navigate that field safely. Would any of you call those directions? Would you regard them as unloving, as burdensome, as unjust, as how dare you tell me what to do? Would you denounce that person? What gives you the right? Would you just discard them as worthless? Of course not. You'd love that individual. You would take those directions and you would treasure them. You wouldn't pick and choose. Which ones? You would look at them, and that's exactly what the psalmist is saying, because God has given us this book. We know it as our Bible. And it's not only told us how we are saved, but it shows God's love to guide us through life so that we avoid calamity, that we avoid injury, harm to ourselves or to others. And the psalmist looks at this book of directions. And he loves them. His greatest fear is that he won't have them. Because he sees that life stretched out ahead of him in a broken world. And he knows he can't do it on his own. So he just treasures that book from his God. God's direction in his life. Do you remember the old hymn, I walk in danger all the way. The thought shall never leave me that Satan, who has marked his prey, is plotting to deceive me. He got it, didn't he? God's book tells us not only how to be rescued, but how to avoid all these bad things that Satan wants to bring into our lives. But you notice, if you're familiar with that hymn, that the hymn didn't stop there. It adds this fifth stanza. I walk with Jesus all the way. His guidance never fails me. Within his wounds I find a stay when Satan's power assails me. And by his footsteps led, my path I safely tread. No evil leads my soul astray. I walk with Jesus all the way. But we also need to remember what the Bible never does. It never puts this cart before the horse. In other words, it never begins with, if you do this, God says, I will do that. It never begins with, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will love you. It always begins with salvation by grace through faith alone. That enlarges our heart, as the psalmist put it. That gives us that zeal, that energy. We want to thank you, Lord. We want to praise you. We want to serve you. And we know that only with your divine direction can we navigate this life. So don't abandon me. Don't let me despise your word. How foolish to not read at every opportunity the directions that you've given. I know that I didn't pay my own sin debt. I couldn't. I was dead in trespasses and sins. But you sent your Son into the world. And you put all of my sin, assume you're it, on your Son. And then you declare me forgiven, just not having done anything, but only through faith in what Jesus has already done for me. You have declared me not guilty. That is the horse. That always comes first. But then having enlarged our heart, we want to thank this God. We want to serve him. That's the divine direction that he gives us in this 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Treasure that direction. Never look at it as burdensome. Keep it with you every moment of every day. Let it guide your hearts, your lives, until he calls you home to his side in heaven. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God shall guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, we deserve only to stand condemned before you and cast forever out of your presence to eternal doom. For we have sinned against you every day. But thanks be to your boundless love and mercy, for you have delivered us from damnation through Jesus Christ, your Son, and for his sake have prepared for us a glorious home, which is eternal in the heavens. Cheer and sustain us, we pray, with this certain hope of everlasting life. As your children who will one day be privileged to rejoice in your presence in heaven, so it is also our desire to serve you with holiness while we live here on earth. And so we thank and praise you this morning for your divine direction. Please, we pray, never allow our minds to confuse your will for our lives with your salvation plan for us. For you have done all to save us, and yet now we seek to say thank you with our lives. Help each of us here this morning to more highly regard your word, that divine Bible that you gave us, and to trust it to direct our lives. We know that there will be hardships in this life, at times unavoidable. And so we bring to your throne our prayers for our brothers in Christ in Nepal. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would sustain them in this, their hour of need. Though the world looks at all who have been killed as lost, we know that many of our Christian brothers were called home by this catastrophe. We pray that you would be with the survivors, those who grieve the loss, those who are homeless. Help us also to open our hearts and all that we have to help those in need. We pray also this morning for the family of Pastor Del Moss. You called your servant home this past week. He finished his race. He has kept the faith. We give thanks to you for this victory. And yet those who remain will rightly be filled with sorrow. Remind them that this is but a temporary separation. And help us to look forward to that reunion you have promised in heaven. All of these things we pray, again, repentant of the poverty of our prayers, but trusting your grace and your wisdom. You know us. You know our needs. Hear us finally as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.